Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rise and shine, sports fans. It is another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Wednesday, August 26th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is the early line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. I'm Dane Martinez. As usual, I got my main man, Kevin Walsh, with me live and direct as we give you everything you need to hopefully make it a profitable day. And we put the fun and functional sports content at the same time. And Kevin, the NBA playoffs continue to truck on. And you know, it's interesting. I talk about like the zigzag theory. We talk about what it would have been like if these games were, you know, back in people's home buildings, you know? And I think about this Clippers Mavericks game we saw last night, right? And there was starting to be a little bit of a narrative around Paul George that he needed to step up, right? There was a little bit of a narrative like, oh, maybe Luka is too much to handle and these Dallas Mavericks are live. It's interesting because I thought, hey, this would be game 5. They'd be going back to LA. And oh my goodness, at this point in time, wouldn't they have benefited, you know, from being back in their building? But it didn't seem to matter yesterday because the stars came out, Kev. Kawhi Leonard doing his thing, 32.7 rebounds. Maybe more importantly, though, Paul George answers back, 35 points. Kev, on 12 of 18 shooting, he was a plus 23 as the Los Angeles Clippers put out a very impressive offensive output, shooting 63% from the field as a team, scoring over 40 points in the first and the fourth quarter. Kev, they get the job done, 154 to 111 to go up 3-2 and really kind of like announce themselves, plant a flag and say, oh yeah, you thought we were, you know, ripe for the picking? Eat this, hold my beer.
Well, I mean, look, 63% from three is preposterous, and that's simply not going to happen again probably the rest of the postseason. But it is fair to say that if Paul George plays a very good game, the Mavericks cannot beat this team. And Paul George played a very good game. Plus 23, scored 35 points, as you mentioned, very, very efficient from the field. Now, the reality for the Mavericks is, you know, Luka was out there. They defended him a bit better. The ankle probably is getting a little bit worse if you look at the way he was grimacing up and down the court each time. Not having Kristaps, we know about his offensive impact, but he is also a legit rim-protecting threat that can make things easier, which can also lend itself to 63% shooting. But this was a game that was over from jump. They came out there and offensively got whatever they wanted. Kawhi started the game 6-for-6 from the field. The game was over before it started. The difference in this game compared to a number of games in this series is that it stayed over. Is that the Clippers didn't then go, all right, awesome, glad we won in the first quarter. Because they have done that constantly. and then they've given the lead away. And then they've had to fight tooth and nail to try and either eke out a win or hand the game back to Dallas. They stayed locked in throughout, and they reaped the benefits of it.
Absolutely, and they go up 3-2 in this series and definitely have momentum. If we see this version of Paul George, the Clippers go right back to being one of the true contenders for the NBA championship as we welcome back in our radio audience across the country, especially even down there in Southern California with the mightier 1090. You know, Kevin, I want to ask you this about Paul George, though. You know, he's been around like you know, everything back and forth with Damian Lillard, the Cancun on three, all that stuff, right? Then with his relatively poor performances so far in the bubble and in the playoffs, he has started to, you know, draw the ire of commentary, of analysts left and right, because he needs to be that number two guy if the Clippers are going to go where they expect to. And he's been underperforming. He had a good game last night. But at the same time, I want to get your thoughts on this. Is coming out, you know, he's talking a little bit about dealing with anxiety, struggling with depression, especially in the bubble. Now, listen, Kev, in 2020, we can all probably empathize, right? It has been a very odd year, and a lot of people have talked about mental health and the strain of this pandemic and whatever you've had to do because of the pandemic. So I am not throwing light shade or making light of anything Paul George is saying, but what do you make about this, that he is now another player coming out and saying, yeah, I'm struggling with anxiety and depression, and it's exacerbated in the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, it was a situation that I think the NBA as a whole was prepared for. They talked about having people for these athletes to talk about, and it's a league as a whole that's done that has been trying to do more to be there for their athletes in this regard. You think about DeRozan, Kevin Love being, you know, spoken out on this issue. When it comes to PG specifically, I think when you see somebody turning off Instagram comments, you know, it's kind of, you can start to think, okay, you know, there was some stuff bothering this guy. But I will tell you this. The reason why I constantly laugh at Playoff P, I don't want anybody to have depression, anxiety, and I hope that he gets that sorted out. And I'm sure this great game will help that. I laugh at Playoff P because of the track record. This didn't start in game two of the series. And the concerns about whether or not Paul George will be this good in game six, forget the next round, if he'll be this good in game six, is he has a legitimate track record of struggling in the playoffs that is way before he ever entered a bubble.
No, absolutely. And I don't mean to conflate the two topics, right? Paul George's up and down struggles or good games with a completely separate and valid thing that players could be struggling with anxiety in the bubble, or athletes can have this. I don't mean to, you know, connect them necessarily, although maybe a great game will help him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome back on the early line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And Kev, you know, in this 2-2 series that went 3-2 LA, I kind of, you know, we've kind of gotten the feeling in some of these series. Maybe the other LA series with Portland is another example that eventually the snowball starts to happen, right? And you know, maybe once a team starts getting rolling, they're going to keep going. This Denver-Utah series, though, is now 3-2. And I kind of think this one is still up for grabs. Denver got the job done yesterday, 117-107. And I want to start with Jamal Murray, Kev, because, listen, that game when Donovan Mitchell dropped like 50-some-odd points, so did Jamal Murray. Right? You know what I mean? And Jamal Murray, even in game one, had a very good game. And then Jamal Murray here in game five responds again with 42 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists, going 17 of 26, Kevin, from the floor, you know, plus 20 overall. This was a huge effort from Jamal Murray. And I pretty much believe here, Kev, that while Donovan Mitchell has proven to be the elite star of this series, Jamal Murray is not far behind, Kev, and he needs to get his due as well as one of the truly, you know, elite ascending point guards in this league.
So Jamal Murray was absolutely fantastic. Let's take a look at this series. So game one, he goes for 36 points, 9 assists, and 5 boards. They win the game.
Sounds pretty good.
Game two, 14. They lose.
Not as good.
Bad. Game three, 12. They lose. Bad. Game four, 50. Lose by 2. 42 in game five. Now, the idea that he has to average 35 might be a stretch, okay? But he certainly can't go out there and give him 15 points. And those same hesitations that we had with Donovan Mitchell that he has seemingly quelled in this series of inconsistent play, due for inefficiency, right? That we've seen, because even Donovan Mitchell right here in the loss was just a shade under 50% from the field, was at 50% from three, and gave us another 30 spot. Jamal Murray now, if he can give you, not 40, right? But if he can give you, probably going to need 30, okay? Probably going to need 30 in a game number six. What's most impressive, right, is the 8 assists, no turnovers, consecutive games now where he is getting people involved without turning over the basketball. I mean, he scored or assisted on what felt like every single bucket from when they made that that third quarter late run until this game closed. He was doing everything. You can't give him enough praise for these performances. But to really look at this game, almost that stuff doesn't matter. What jumps out is after being an absolute waste defensively, the entire team being absolutely wasteful defensively, found a way to hold the Utah Jazz to 23 points in the third and then 21 points in the fourth. And maybe the Jazz got hit with shooting regression like a ton of bricks, and it all came, you know, to roost in that second half. Or maybe they actually found something. Probably a combination of the two. But that is really the big thing here for Denver. Did we actually find a way to guard these guys? Is George's Niang no longer going to be Ray Allen? Might Mike Conley stop making every single shot and we go dad strength? We know Donovan will get his, but can we actually limit these guys? You know, Rudy Gobert only the 11 points.
Right.
It's a big change from what we've kind of seen from Rudy in a couple of these other spots. Jordan Clarkson, I think, maybe only had 3 points in the second half. So that's really the big thing for Malone and this group, is this defensive performance. Now, again, holding this team to, you know, 20 a quarter, no, that's ridiculous. But can you keep this team under a buck 10? Because if you can, you got a real good shot.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about how efficient the Jazz have been all series long, right, Kev? You know, and so for them, 50% from the floor is actually like regression. And also, I noticed 15 turnovers for the Jazz in this game, speaking to your point, you know, and whether it's that, the defense showing up, or something like Jamal Murray, right? The idea is consistency, right? For this team to literally take a step forward, right? If they played consistent defense, they would take a step forward. If Jamal Murray could bring what we are seeing and, You know, he is one of the young prize guards in this league. He just is. And he did it last year in the playoffs also. He kind of showed himself to have a little bit of that clutch gene. I remember in game one where you were talking about it, Doris Burke was saying like, oh, his mechanics are so smooth. It's so nice when it comes off his hand. He should be a 50-40-90 kind of guy. So if he can consistently do that, I do believe the Nuggets are still live in this series, even though they are down 3-2. We know it's going to come from Mitchell, right? Will it come from Murray is an interesting question. I do want to ask you something about Donovan Mitchell. Yesterday, Jeff, we talked about, because he was being so great and so efficient, how his prop total was starting to inch up. I believe it closed at 29 yesterday, or 29 and the hook. Kev, when the game was not really in doubt anymore, I believe Denver had like a 6-point lead with under a minute left to go. Donovan Mitchell fires up from like 25 a three, and it banks in, for goodness sake. The announcers were even like, he didn't call bank on that one. That gets him to 30 points for the game, where he finishes just over his prop total. Talk about, like, you know, a bad beat or a game of inches. If you were holding the under 29.5 because you thought the algorithm went too far, that is a tough way to lose a bet, huh, Kev? A bank three inside of a minute just to kind of throw it up there, and it causes you to rip up your ticket. Torn tickets, I believe, is what we used to call it with me and Joe Ranieri doing the early line. That's a torn ticket for sure, huh, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, to be fair to those bettors, I almost don't feel bad, because he only was 50% from three compared to 6 of 7 the day that I went under that 29.5. And like, the dude's just, I mean, he's been so good. But that's what we talked about yesterday, right? Like, I am betting it under. It might be inflated, but is it inconceivable? No. And it wasn't. I mean, think about it. He still got there. And the team did absolutely nothing offensively in the entirety of the second half. Like, you know, I don't know what they post you for a game number 6, but as opposed to staying away, I just might have to jump on in on the over, especially where, you know, a potential closeout game. Hey, be careful. Be careful.
I hear you. And remember, in normal circumstances, the Jazz would now be up 3-2 going back home to Utah. Right. And that is not the case in this situation. So I think it is very interesting. Let me ask you this. It seems like you are telling me that you love Jamal Murray. He's a great player, but the consistency would be that next step of his game to rise to the level like we are seeing Donovan Mitchell do. Right. Kind of maybe add that consistency so that you can believe in it. Does Murray have that in him? Kev, do you think Jamal Murray will develop that consistency? Is something that you can rely on? Is something that the Nuggets can rely on? Because honestly, if he is, the sky is the limit for this Denver Nuggets team.
And the sky is not the limit. They are still defensively garbage. It's very, very important for them to get where they want to be. Because you've seen it, though. Like, they're how competitive they are seemingly depends on how well Jamal Murray plays. And can he play? Again, can Jamal Murray give you 42, 8, and 8 with no turnovers every game? No, that's ridiculous. But can Jamal Murray be a 23-point-per-game scorer efficiently and, you know, create more? Yes, he can. I mean, and that's the thing, right? Like, it kind of hits you as you watch Donovan Mitchell. You're like, yeah, you know what? He's been inconsistent in the past. This is year 3. Guys take leaps, right? And Jamal Murray is only in maybe year 4 or 5. Like, Jamal Murray is potentially taking that leap as well. Mm-hmm. And you see how impactful that is for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, and remember, I believe, Kev, correct me if I'm wrong, but he only had 1 year in college. So even in his, like, fourth year in the league, he's mm-hmm. still only, like, 22 years old, okay? Like, this is one of the best young point guards in the NBA. And if he's adding consistency to his game because of his playoff experience, the Nuggets are in good shape. We got the news, and then we talk about today's NBA action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right. Thank you to Chris Welsh, giving us everything we need to know of what happened overnight. We also welcome back in our radio audience from around the country here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. I'm Dane Martinez, and I got my main man, Kevin Walsh, as usual. Kev, let's look at the action in the NBA today, okay, as a number of series roll on, and it could be the end of the season for a couple of teams facing the one seeds in each conference. We start in the East, where Orlando and Milwaukee will get today's action started at about 4:10 p.m. Eastern time. Listen, Orlando won game one, but in the last three games, Milwaukee has won, I believe, by 14, by 14, and by 15. So it is no surprise that there is a 14-point spread in this one. The total is 227. This is a weird one to try to think about, Kev, to me, because like, oh, okay, will Orlando show heart or will Miami, will Milwaukee boat race them is a legitimate question. But then at the same time, it's like, I don't want to play the prop market because I could see Giannis sitting for almost the entire second half. If this one starts to snowball and the outcome of the series becomes clear, this could become garbage time real quick. How are you playing this one, Kev?
Yeah, look, this is it's been a very fun series, especially kind of from the betting perspective with the Magic, you know, getting that win. Every single game, the Magic have flashed the cover at some point in that fourth quarter.
Right. Everybody makes a run.
Every single game. And yeah, no, like anybody can make a run, but like they keep making it in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? Like Budenholzer, sure, as much as he loves being able to put his players on the bench, not to the point where he gets to play them enough in the beginning of the game to give them time to actually go to the bench. Like, the game will stay tight enough if you will. Now, I actually think that this game was a little bit tighter at the half, and that's kind of, you know, the separation actually came a little bit more so in the fourth quarter. Do I want to lay 14? No, because I did that once in this series. And again, it's just you're sitting there the whole time. You're like, oh, my gosh, can this please end? Like, this is awful to watch. Now, do I want to take 14? No, because they could get 30 pieced at any moment. Like, if you want to back the Magic, you wait till an in-game number of above 20 appears, which is more than possible. And, if we keep going through it, the total's 227. Last game, we scored 227, and the game before that, it was 228. The Bucks haven't really given you four consistent quarters to where, you know, what are they going to land on? Not positive. The Magic, you know, after game one, you know, the Bucks defense has shown up for at least a quarter, which pretty much makes, you know, their offensive team total a nightmare, but they keep getting close because, of course, they do. Do you love that, though? No, not really. No, not really. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the prop market. Giannis lost by a hook in his last game. What are we looking at here? Same, I'm not, you know, tough call. Chris Middleton, that's the big question to me. Chris Middleton had 3 points in three quarters in that last game. Like, yeah, I played that prop over, and then he scored 18 in the fourth quarter. Is Chris Middleton going to be able to carry that over? Is, you know, now, again, Chris Middleton can carry it over and then not play in the fourth quarter and you're done, which is tough. But the number is still small. 19 and a half. Might Chris Middleton be able to give you 20 in the first half or at least through three quarters? Yeah, I think it's possible. I certainly do. Could you play Nikola Vucevic over 23.5, who's given you 30 in three of the four games that have been in this series? Yeah, I think you could. This is a game, though, Dane, that it's tough to find an angle when you know the talent gap is so wide.
Yeah.
You know that the potential for no fourth quarter meaningful action is very much so in play. Like, it's a tough game to find a concrete angle on.
No, I hear you. I want to, you know, kind of back up that thing you said about Middleton as well. I actually believe Middleton could be a player to target. And the reason I say that is because I believe the Bucks know that they need to have Middleton going, like when they see Miami in the next round, right? So I think it could be a priority for the Bucks to get Middleton kind of having a streak of good games to build that confidence, to get him going for the future. The other way I might play this game, though, Kev, because I agree with you in the way that these games have been going, Orlando making a run, but the talent gap there, you may be seeing Giannis sitting for a lot of the second half and certainly in the fourth quarter if they get this working margin that the books think they get, that the last three games have shown they get. Kev, Milwaukee first half team total, 60.5 points. What say you? Is that something? Because listen, they have been going at Lee Wright and then maybe benching their guys and the runs come in the second half. But I would think, I could be wrong, this could be too rational and logical for the real sports investing world, but I think that they're going to want to, you know, leave no doubt, take the soul of this team early on. They have gotten out to big early leads in this series. What about 60.5 in the first half for the Bucks?
Yeah, I like that. They had they got over that number in games 2 and 3. Last game, they left a little bit on the table in that opening quarter, and they were only able to get to 58 points. They only scored 22 points in the first quarter of game 4. Mm. Realistically, I think, especially if you like Middleton, you know, again, because you'd like to think that Middleton, if he's going to carry it over, he'll do it early. If Middleton like has big quarters, right, and is efficient, then they're almost a guarantee to score 30 against the Magic in a quarter, right? Now, you do need a little bit more than 30, but I think that that is a nice way to play it because they've gotten over it again in two of the four games thus far, but game one, who remembers that that happened? And they finished with 58 in game 4. So I think that that is actually a very good way to play it, and you remove a lot of the other variables out of the equation.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, right? Take it as a hop in, hop out as possible. I don't have to worry about, are they going to play all the minutes? I don't got to worry about, will they take their foot off the gas pedal, either players, rotations, Budenholzer. I know they'll be playing at least in the first half. We also, Kev, have a 14-point spread in the nightcap as well, as the Lakers are 14-point favorites now against the Portland Trailblazers. They are up 3-1. At one point, they were up 24-8 on Mamba night, and it looks like conventional wisdom is they are now rolling. They are now even shooting the rock better. But to be quite honest, you know, I mean, we got to know about Damian Lillard, because if they don't have Damian Lillard, they go from small chance in this game to, in my opinion, no chance in this game. What's up with Dame Dollar?
Yeah, Dame's out with a knee sprain. So without Damian Lillard, this number has ballooned to 14. But there's an important distinction to make here, because as many bettors know, there's no such thing as a player that is worth 7 points to the spread. If they tacked on 7 points because of Lillard's absence, you would have but no choice to grab the 14, probably lose the bet, but you'd still have but no choice to grab the 14. That's not what's happened here. After game 4, we saw this number yesterday, Dane, at 11.5. And I actually,
we did.
I don't know if we were on air, though, or off air when we were looking at it, but we were talking.
Oh, right. Was this assuming the Lillard availability, right?
And that was the question. And it actually turns out the answer is no. But it was this closeout game boost that we've seen for the team going for the closeout, probably plus a bit of a like, you know, the Lakers just killed this team. There's really nothing they can do. I can't believe people thought they could hang with them. And now that
and then another three number, for Dame.
Exactly. So that's a big distinction to make here, because again, even me, if Damian Lillard is worth 7 points to a spread, this team might struggle a ton. Like, you'd have to grab 14. That's not the case here. It's about 2.5 to 3 points to Lillard. That's more than understandable then for his value to this team. But it's another spot here, Dane, where what do you want to do? You know, yesterday I played two props over in that Mavs-Clippers game. I had a Hardaway over 17.5. We had a Marcus Morris over 12.5. And through three quarters, I got Hardaway Jr. to give me 19, and I got Marcus Morris to give me 12. I would label those pretty strong, pretty really, you know, good bets. It turns out, though, I was lucky that Hardaway Jr. came away with one more basket in that third quarter. This was a blowout. He didn't play in the fourth. And I was unlucky that Marcus Morris, you know, got to 12 and away because he didn't play in the whole fourth quarter. Blowouts really can hurt your player props. Like, unless your guy is the reason it's a blowout, then it's going to be tough for you to get there on some numbers. And when you look at this game, what do you want to do, right? Like, is there a world where, you know, Anthony Davis gives you 35? Sure. But Dane, look at his points prop. 26.5. 4 or 5 points lower than what we've seen. LeBron down to 27.5. Now, that's about 2 points from where we've seen. The main event here, I just want to add, though, from a points prop perspective and even an assist prop perspective, is CJ McCollum. McCollum, during the season, when Damian Lillard has been out, has been great, especially in the assist market.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where I was going to go also, you know, and I mentioned that before with prop bets in the potential closeout games or sitting. Remember, we talked about Fred VanVleet, and I was worried that in a potential sweep against Brooklyn, he wouldn't be there on the board enough to go over his prop. We were talking about that on social media. But that's where I thought, Kev, not necessarily Lakers props, but Portland props with Damian Lillard out, right? And those guys maybe will be on the court even if they're down 14, you know, in the fourth quarter. So McCollum is 26.5. Nurkic is 17.5. Carmelo is 17.5. I know we only got 20 seconds. Who do you think is the best bet to soak up that usage? Give it to me in two words.
I'd much rather have McCollum's assist prop than any other thing on the board.
McCollum's assist prop, as he might be the facilitator and distributor without Dame Dollar. We come back, turn our attention to the NFL. Oh, no, we got another game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here on the Early Line. Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Kev, the last game that I want to talk about today, it's the game in the middle, okay, and it's the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Houston Rockets. Now, the Thunder tied this series at 2 in the last game, so this is a huge game 5. The Rockets are 3-point favorites in this one. The total is 224. Here's what I want to ask you. I know we still will not have Russell Westbrook in this game for the Rockets. I have said to you a few times, right, with this variance Rockets team, you know, like, are they shooting at a 40% clip from three? Are they making 23-pointers? You know, those being critical thresholds for the Houston Rockets. Well, Kev, they hit those both in game 4 and did not win the game, right? So my question for you in this one is, what is the key thing? What are you looking for? What indicator will you see in the second quarter that would be like, ah, it's looking like this one? What are you looking for in this game?
You know, it's funny, and it's a great question. I'm now at the point in a 2-2 series where it's hard to have a straight answer. I mean, listen, the Rockets lost a game and where they took 58 threes and made 40% of them. But they made 40% of them. Like, that's supposed to be, we win, right? Like, you talk
about
this.
That's the formula for the Rockets. That's the formula for the Rockets, exactly.
Like, you're like, hey, listen, did they make 40% of their threes? Cool. They won, right? Now, if I would have told you, yes, they made 40%, they shot 58, and you're like, oh, wow, so they blew them out. No, they lost by three. They lost. So, and that, you know, is also with Daniel House hitting the heave ho that made
That's why I'm asking, like, if that's not the key, then what is?
And that's the struggle now. I mean, the credit that Lou Dort is getting for the pressure that he is putting on James Harden is so much that it is impossible to ignore. Okay. I know you and I talked about this and we kind of, you know, you were like, if Lou Dort. Hey, listen, here's Lou Dort making an impact, making it happen, making James Harden, you know, want him to head to the bench. Now, when you look at this, the big thing for this Thunder team is consistently getting their three guards to step up. Chris Paul with 26 points, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with a nice 16, and Dennis Schroeder giving you 30. Those are the big things when it comes to those teams. I look through this, and I might just have to keep playing in the prop market. I have very much so worried about jumping in on these sides. The prop market, I look at Eric Gordon, you know, at 18.5. He gave you 23 last game. He's been close a couple of times, and bad shooting has maybe missed you by the hook or you won by the hook. I don't mind going back to Eric Gordon. Harden might shoot 1,000 shots. I don't mind going for Harden. Schroeder's playing well. Like, all these guys, I think there's a lot of value out there in the prop market. But I've had a lot of hesitation on the side. But maybe, Dane, it's time to stop that. The Thunder were favored under these same exact circumstances when the series was going to start. Then we played two games, and they were like, oh, it's definitely the Rockets. Then the Thunder got one. And I understood where they were like, all right, they got one, fine. But then the Thunder got a second. And now here we are, 5.5 points off of that number from game number one. And it might be time to say that the Thunder, at that price, is value. I don't know if I have what it takes to actually lay it. Because I still do get worried that the Rockets can go out there and dominate this team.
Blow the doors off.
Again, you might have to argue that that's value.
So let me ask you. If you are backing Oklahoma City, right? And I understand you don't know exactly what side of the fence you want to go. But if you are on the Thunder, I think you would take them at plus 126 instead of the +3, right? Like, if you're backing the Thunder, you just think they're going to get the job done, right? Or would you play it on the money line, or would you play it more? Do you feel like you would want the 3 points as a Thunder backer, or do you want the 28 cents of juice?
The reason I might want the 3 points is their two wins have been an overtime win and a win by three.
Yeah, they've been close.
To where, if it's close, you know what I mean? Like, you might have a little bit of breathing room in that regard. Like, just to even, just to, like, talk about how weird this has been. In game four, first quarter, 72 points. Second quarter, 48. Third quarter, 65 points. Fourth quarter, 46. What happened here? What was it? What was this game? Like, it, you know what? So
that's all about when Lou Dort is on the floor, clearly. Lou Dort's rotation. That's what it's about.
No, but like it's impossible. Like, how are you supposed to get a rhythm for a game that has no rhythm? How do you get a feel for a game that has no feel?
You plant a flag and hope you're right, you know, because value. If it, I'm saying, but seriously, right? Because if it is unknown, if you have a strong position, you will probably get value on it, because to the books, to most of the public, this is unclear. It can go either way, right? So if you're like, no, I see something that's real, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'll play the regression, and I'll play Eric Gordon over 2.5 made threes, for example, right? If you do have a strong position, you probably would get some value in this one. Just to be clear, though, Russell Westbrook not coming back in this one. Is there any updates on when we might expect Brody to be back?
No, look, we still have no timetable. Like, you might even argue that the Thunder extending this series has been a blessing for the Rockets. If you believe that Russell Westbrook, right. But I'm saying, if you believe that Russell Westbrook is necessary for this team to beat the Lakers, then you might argue that it has been necessary for that kind of, you know, for this series to be extended then in that regard. I still have my reservations about Westbrook showing up here and completely tilting the series on its head. Like, that's the one thing that actually would make me kind of confident in a bet. Like, Westbrook shows up and all of a sudden the Rockets are laying 6 points. Like, then I'm just going to take the 6 points.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Sense so to it's me. Totally irrelevant.
No, it's true, but I'd be very interested to see if Oklahoma City does win today and the Thunder go up 3-2. I'd be very interested to see if all of a sudden we have a timetable for Russell Westbrook, you know, kind of like, oh, Kevin Durant, we're not positive in the finals last year. Oh, they're down in the series? Let's give it a shot. I think we might see similar things with Russell Westbrook if Oklahoma City does get the job done. That would be three in a row for the Thunder. But Kev, I do want to switch gears. We've highlighted what's going on in the NBA. I want to talk about the NFL real quick. You know, one of the teams that are on Hard Knocks, as you'll see another episode today, is the Los Angeles Chargers. Yesterday, we talked about Big Mike Williams and how Mike Williams was dealing with a shoulder injury. And, you know, again, like, we don't realize that we're only 2 weeks away from week one, Kev. You know what I mean? Like, it is close. And so Anthony Lynn is now saying that we are not absolutely positive about Mike Williams for week one against the Cincinnati Bengals. And so I want to ask you, are you buying or selling a concern for Mike Williams at this point for week one? And I know we're all over these Charger stacks, right, against the Bengals and the rookie Joe Burrow and all that stuff. Would this change your thinking on that game, that they're a little bit, you know, being conservative, shall we say, about Mike Williams' availability? Like, for example, meanwhile in Philly with Miles Sanders, they're like, don't worry about it, he'll be ready for week one. They're not saying the same thing in LA about Big Mike Williams. Are you buying or selling kind of a little concern here about that shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, I think your only option is to buy, considering not only what they're saying, but who we're talking about. Mike Williams has not been a model of
true,
you know, great health during his time in the NFL. So,
yeah,
from that regard, I'd be concerned. From a Chargers DFS stack concern, though, Keenan Allen, thank you. Welcome to the lineup. No worries there.
A little Hunter Henry action, maybe, as a value tight end in that spot, sure, on week one. As we get into week one, we will make sure to do more of that, right, Kev? Little maybe DFS diamonds and fugazis later on in the week. We'll give you some fantasy football. I mean, right, Kev, you might as well take advantage of the spitting statistician, whether it's waiver wires, sit starts. And if you have questions, let us know. We will do our best to answer them for you, maybe even on air. You know, Kevin, yesterday we talked about some rookie running backs, right? And maybe their path to production and success. Remember Joshua Kelly of the Chargers comes to mind. I want to bounce some younger wide receivers off of you. All right. And I got two that I want to mention that are getting kind of, you know, the right buzz that they should be getting in their rookie year. You know, this is what you should hear in camp about, you know, high drafted wide receivers or guys you think have a future, that they're doing great. Like, people can't cover them, right? And that is the case for two rookie wide receivers that I want to ask you about. One is in Buffalo, Gabriel Davis out of UCF, and I like him. The reason I like him, Kev, is because the man is 6'4". And when you look at the rest of the Buffalo wide receivers, you got Stephon Diggs, shorter guy. Cole Beasley, shorter guy. Smoke Brown, shorter guy. So early on in the career, I see a path or a package, a role for Gabriel Davis. You know, those kind of contested catches, maybe red zone. And that's the kind of things I look for an emerging rookie wide receiver. It doesn't happen often, but Gabe Davis, because of the role he could play. And in dynasty leagues, you need to keep an eye out on these because, you know, second and third year receivers ascend a little bit at that time. What do you think about Gabe Davis being that kind of taller outside wide receiver for Buffalo? Buy or sell?
Sell? Look, this is the thing. Okay. This is where sometimes I find myself, I guess, maybe with a disconnect. And because I understand, right? Like, so someone like you who is so deep into the fantasy community, you must find sleepers, right? You must.
Correct.
I, though, will never talk myself into Josh Allen's wide receiver 4. Never do it. Not going to happen. Because that's what we're talking about here. Like, Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Cole.
Yeah, Williams, I named them. You're all, right. All, and there's Dawson the Knox also.
Right. Yep. Knox. Singletary will get more targets as well.
Sure.
And even the, like, oh, he's, you know, 6'2", they'll toss it to him. First of all, I don't trust Josh Allen to throw a fade. Second of all, he's more likely to run down in the red zone. Then they might hand the ball off to Zach Moss. So,
yeah,
to me, like, if you're going at it from a dynasty angle, that might be different. But no, like, I don't look at Gabriel Davis as like, that's one you want to throw with the last pick of each. I'm not taking the fourth wide receiver for Josh Allen.
No, I understand that. And let me be clear. That is what I said. You know, Kev, I was talking about a name to know, especially in dynasty leagues, right? And I said it myself, Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, Smoke Brown. You're right. They're all there. But the point that you started with, I think, is important and should be made, right? We are talking about sleepers. We are talking about diamonds. And when I'm looking for diamonds, especially in a dynasty league, let's say, right? That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a potential early role. Early on, I'm looking for a situation where in next year it will be different. And by the way, Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers is a similar guy. Okay. He's also getting buzz in Pittsburgh. And for him, not only is it that he could be on the outside, Deontay Johnson is short, what have you, but for him in the dynasty world, it's also the fact that Juju Smith-Schuster is on the last year of his contract. So there's a path to ascending on the depth chart as we go year over year. That's why I highlight some of these guys, Kev.
No, and again, I get that. I mean, the Claypool intrigue is Pittsburgh's ability to just continually draft these wide receivers and feel like they get tremendous value. I think the Steelers as a whole is a interesting spot here because last year Juju was supposed to be the guy. Then the whole season was a mess. What are we doing with that? Is everybody tired of James Washington? Is Deontay Johnson a must-own everywhere? Like, I just... You know, it's they're an interesting team, especially when you talk wide receivers.
It will be. You're right. Juju did not. He wilted under the light last year. Deontay Johnson was apparently hurt. I think James Washington is the guy that's out. Claypool is a name to watch. We'll be back. I'll give you another one when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Right here on the early line, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And Kevin makes a great point, okay? We talk about a guy like Gabe Davis or a guy like Chase Claypool. You know, some of these guys we are talking about. I want to be clear here. You know, we're bringing up some of these guys because when there's no preseason games, when you don't have beat reporters tweeting at practices, you need a way to get some information to understand the contours and the context of what you might see moving forward. And some of these are especially in dynasty leagues or deep stashes, 16-team leagues. So that context is absolutely important, Kev. But I don't need any context for this next guy. Wide receiver of the Arizona Cardinals, Christian Kirk. Okay, they are talking big things about him in camp. And I buy this one. Okay, I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, they just brought in DeAndre Hopkins. They have Larry Fitzgerald, Kenyon Drake, Kyler Murray running. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe, Kev, Christian Kirk will have a far better season than Larry Fitzgerald, and he will be the number two guy by a wide margin in this offense. I always like to note also Christian Kirk, Texas A&M. Kyler Murray started at Texas A&M. They were college teammates for a little bit, so that chemistry is there. Kirk is an ascending wideout. One of these young guys, in my opinion, has been dealing with injury. I buy all the smoke here on Christian Kirk. Do you buy him at that level, or do you think it's going to be something of a herd in Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona as a whole is a little bit difficult for me. Now, to your point with Kirk last year, two less targets than Fitz in three less games. So that's the big separator, is that had Christian Kirk played a full complement, because that also you would think that would lower Fitz's number. So there actually probably would have been a considerable gap there last year.
I mean, there's also DeAndre Hopkins coming into the fold, though.
No, 100%. But you made the point, him relative to Larry Fitz.
To Fitz.
Even last year showed that that was the case.
Yeah, I think that's true. I just think everyone knows about DeAndre Hopkins. The name Larry Fitzgerald will go in a draft. Do not sleep on Christian Kirk. Think about how many ascending second-year wideouts there were over the last couple of years. The Ridleys, the Godwins, the Parkers of the world. This guy should be in this group as well. We talk Major League Baseball when we come back in hour number two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.